Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and on this special episode, it is an author spotlight, and joining me for this author spotlight is author T.L. Swan. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
I am so excited you're here. I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
I'm a huge fan. And if our listeners would like to know a little bit more about T.L. Swan and where to find her on all the social media platforms, sign up for her newsletter, make sure you check out our website at buzzingaboutromance.com for our on-the-shelf show notes. We are here to celebrate a new release you have.
Yes, very exciting. 7 days today.
Yes.
The
bonus, but before we get into the bonus, I would like to get to know a little bit about you as an author.
Okay.
Okay. So why romance? I'm always curious what draws an author to write romance.
You know what? I love falling in love. I love the whole hopeful promise of a happy ending. And I like other books, of course, but romance has always been my jam. That is what I always read as a child growing up, as a young teenager. That is, you know, I can get halfway through another book in another genre and stop it easily, but it doesn't matter what I read in romance. I have to know what happens.
Yeah.
I have to get to the end. So it's just a no-brainer for me.
I get that.
No chance.
Do you remember your first kind of adult romance that you read?
You know what? I used to read my mum's Mills and Boons books, but sure. I wasn't allowed to. So all I can tell you was it had a doctor and a nurse, and I just was obsessed with it. I used to sneak my mum's books away and read them on the sly at night when everyone thought I was going to bed. You know, nothing's changed really. We all do that still.
That is how I found romance. I remember my very first romance, and I totally stole it off my mom's night table, and
Do you remember the name, or you just remember the kind of premise? Because I remember the premise, but I don't remember the name.
No, I remember the name. It was The Conquest by Jude Devereaux.
Oh.
And part of that is my mom went to college with Jude Devereaux. They were sorority sisters. And so my mom had all her books. And I was just intrigued by them. And I never looked back like you.
Yeah.
Give them all
to
me. I feel
like once you've got that romance bug, no other genre is going to do it for you. That's just me.
Well, and, you know, they did things in those books, you know, like The Conquest, I think that's like in 84 that it was released. They did things in those books that were kind of, would have been revolutionary, right? Like, people didn't know the stuff they were sneaking, because like The Conquest, his love interest is parading as a young boy, as a page, because it's a knight page. So there's that ambiguous attraction. And, you know, that was kind of revolutionary if you think about what was happening in the world.
I know. Like, it's just, I look back and I think, man, I wish I had those old books so I could go back and read them now and see, because I remember reading them and gasping, going, oh,
yes.
So naughty.
I love them. So you have written quite a few books, and you do something with your characters that I just really like. And this is hilarious, but you write alpha holes, like superior alpha holes, but they're so relatable and likable. Is that a challenge for you to be like, I have to take this really...
You know what? It is not. My husband is like an alpha hole. The only men I've ever dated have been super, super alpha. So it's all I know. I don't know when people, you know, write about these lovely, sweet, gentle men. I think, do men really exist like this?
Like, I'm still...
Sorry.
It's okay. I'm still convinced to this day, like Mr. Garcia, I believe in their HEA, but I am still not convinced those two like each other.
Oh, no, they don't probably. I don't know. They're probably fighting right now. My favorite men are the grumpiest ones. So it's like Joshua Stanton or Sebastian Garcia, Julian Masters, Jamison Miles. They're my go-to. Like, I like him grumpy. The grumpier, and I love Gabriel Ferrara. He's the grumpiest, I think.
He is
So,
so grumpy.
yeah.
And Jameson is my favorite of the Miles brothers. I know often everybody really goes to The Takeover as their favorite book in
No,
that
I'm with
series.
you. I love him grumpy. So,
Yeah.
yep,
Well,
I get it.
and
I
that
get it.
opening, that's something that you do in your books that I love because I like the spice. Like in our podcast world, we called it the pop. It's the percentage of the book that we have to read before someone puts out. And you like to give it to us like right at 5, 7, 10%. I'm like,
Yeah, I
yes.
can't be waiting that long. I need to know what's coming. So
Yeah.
I need to visit that time and then go away and grow the emotions and come back to it. That's my favorite kind of build up. Yeah, slow burn is hard for me to do because I'm not feeling it.
And I appreciate that. I know that I can pick up a D.L. Swan book. And I'm going to get spice. I'm not going to wait for this. And I'm going to get pretty much a jackass hero. But I love him.
Jackass, hero, that's it. You nailed it.
They are so great. Well, and we'll get to Gabriel here in a second. And one of the things that I really like that you have done, covers and romance novels are ever changing. And we've talked about in the podcast the history of romance novels and their covers used to change with every printing. Like, you never had a set that was complete of all the same kind of covers, it just didn't
Yeah.
exist. But you've given us our man covers on our ebooks, and you've
Yep.
gone more of the object covers on the paperbacks.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I love man covers. I am a man cover girl. Like, that is what I like. I like to look at a book, especially on Kindle Unlimited, and I like to know what I'm getting. You know what I mean? So that's why I like the man covers. But in a bookstore, there are no book covers with half-dressed women on them. It's sexist. We would just hate that. If there was naked women on books, we would be outraged. So it's not okay to have double standards and have half-dressed men. Like, you have to have equality. And, if we don't want half-dressed women on a bookstore, like in a bookstore, why do we think it's okay to have half-dressed men? Like, it's just equality. So that is why we as authors have had to gravitate to a different kind of cover for bookstores. But it's not to say we don't love our main covers, because we do. Some authors have gone that full change over and rebranded their ebooks as well. And it's a marketing thing, because when you are advertising two different covers, it costs you double the income.
Right.
So it's hard. It is a hard thing to do. So people are getting all enraged at authors, when really some authors just, it's a smart decision to make it all the same. Like, it's financially, for advertising, it makes sense.
It's business. It's business. This
It's
is a
business.
livelihood.
Yeah.
And it's funny you say nobody wants half naked. I am a collector of the old school Clinch covers. Like the heaving
When she's
bosoms.
getting her bodice ripped off and
Yes.
stuff, like, I love them
Like the
too, but
Joanna Lindsay one where she's like kneeling and in totally getting her boobs fucked, like right there. Like I have that one. It's one of my favorites. I love it. But I'm an old school romance reader. Like, I have been reading since I read my first romance novel in 1990. So I've been.
You're about the same as me. That's about the time I did too. I was about 85, I think. I'm probably a bit older.
So I've been doing it a minute. I've seen the changes. Covers don't bother me. I know people get upset about them. The
Oh, I
choices make
understand why they
sense.
get upset. I understand why they get upset. They kind of feel like their authors are deserting them. And it does appear that way. But when you kind of break it down and reverse it back and realize that this is an author's job and she's got goals to meet, and she's not going to be able to make those goals in a bookstore with a cover with a man on it. You have to break it down and say, okay, I have to rebrand. I've chosen to keep my ebooks the men cover, and I'll just pay the extra advertising. I'm not worried about that. But we have had conversations where they're like, we should have one cover, and I'm like, no, I can't do it. And also too, I feel like because I have a very specific type of cover that I do, like my people recognize my covers just by scrolling. I don't, because I don't use different fonts, I don't do all the swirly stuff. It's just
Yeah.
so I feel like I've worked so hard on that branding to turn around and just throw it away. It's just stupid.
Well, and this paperback is pink. And my thought is when I see TL Swan, I think dark navy, black, and matte. Because
Oh, you should see the cover for the bonus
I can't
paperback,
wait.
like the ebook cover. It's
Yeah.
so beautiful because we've had that printed as well for my website.
Oh, I have seen him. I am obsessed. I'm
Yeah,
obsessed.
well, in the paperback, I'll get the girls to make me a video today, actually. The paperback has arrived of that cover, and it's just stunning. It is so beautiful. It's just luxurious dark navy and black, exactly what you said.
Right? I mean, those are just, when I go to pick up a TL Swan book, those are kind of, what I expect to see. And typically, I think the title will be in gold writing and your name will be in white. And I know that that's a book that I'm going to get. I'm going to get some spice. I'm going to get a grump. Typically a billionaire, which you do. It's interesting because I was looking at all your books and your billionaires. Everybody's a little different. You don't write the same kind of billionaire each time. Like
No.
Gabriel in the bonus, he's very different from the Miles brothers.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. It's funny, I like to just write the story as it comes to me. It's not necessarily a type. I don't like to stick to tropes or I don't plan how things are going to go. And I like the billionaire element or the millionaire element simply because it gives me more playroom to make things exotic and luxurious and fun. And, let's face it, we read for escapism. Nobody wants to read about the mechanic husband coming home and fighting over the paper bill that, the telephone bill that hasn't been paid, and what are we eating for dinner tonight, and who's folding the washing? Like, that's real life. No one wants that crap. We
Right.
want to be whisked off to Paris for a weekend. So, I'm
I
only
will say
interested.
though, nobody's asking Gabriel to cook at all. Really, neither one of them are being asked to cook. That was so fun in this book. This book, I think that is something that you do exceptionally well in your books. You like to add and sprinkle in a little undiscovered humor. Like sabotaging somebody's dinner.
I don't know how this stuff comes to me when I'm writing because it's not a conscious decision that I do, like, oh, I'm going to make this funny. It's like, I don't know, in the moment things happen and I'm like, yeah. And then when I read it back, I'm like, you're a tripper. Where does this come from?
And so another like mainstay of romance is miscommunication, because these characters, while fictional, they are to represent humans, and as humans, we are very good at miscommunication ourselves. And we do get quite a bit of miscommunication in the bonus. And so how do you do that to make it feel organic to the story, that you're not just going in there like, oh, we need a little angst in here, so they're just not going to talk well.
I don't. I honestly don't write that way. So I just write. For me, I'm a plotter, so I plot, and I
Okay.
plot a book about 12 months out from writing it. And I'll make a folder and I put pictures in and I'll write excerpts of scenes. It's like a scrapbook on the book that's coming out. And as soon as I make that scrapbook, it's like my mind starts to process the story. So in the back play, it's kind of happening. And then by the time I get to write it, I literally just sit down and type. It just comes out. I don't even plan it. Like, it's just the weirdest. It's like a download. It
Yeah.
actually just comes out. So it's weird. I don't know if you read Dr. Stanton.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I wrote Dr. Stanton in 2 weeks. I literally sat down and I wrote 10 hours a day, and it just was like so easy. And I never did a rewrite. It's literally the first draft you've got. So
Crazy. Crazy.
And that book changed my life. Like, it was my first book that I hit the top 100. I woke up, I uploaded it, I woke up and it was number 37 in store. I'd never had, it stayed there for 3 months.
I threw my
Amazon,
Kindle with that book.
Montlake, read that, and then they, contacted me and asked me to write for them. And I thought it was my husband because they'd never signed an Australian author before. So I was like, I know it's freaking you. Like, you're not funny. So yeah, that book changed my life. And this was the first book that I actually wrote. I just let myself write whatever.
Yeah.
And it turned out funny. And I don't know. I never planned on that. And that's when I kind of started relaxing into writing and thinking, you know what? I can just write what I want. It's okay.
Yeah, Dr. Stanton, he makes me a little crazy sometimes. I go back and revisit him and think, oh, maybe he won't be such an asshat. He's great. He redeems himself, though. So if listeners haven't read him, he redeems himself, and in the end, I do love him.
And you have to read the epilogue. Like, there's a separate epilogue book, which is 60,000 words, which is
Yes.
literally nearly another book. I should have called it book two, but it's imperative that you read the epilogue.
So I did read the epilogue, and a funny fact about me, I don't read epilogues.
Oh,
I oftentimes, but I
we can't
did
be friends
read your
anymore if
epilogue.
you don't read epilogues. What?
So I go back to my roots. So I started reading like the Joanna Lindsay, the Jude Devereaux, the Julie Garwoods. Those books don't have epilogues.
They should. It's a crime against humanity. Like, what? That's me.
Always
I'm
say,
going to chain you down and make you read every epilogue you've ever read because you've ever, like, that's craziness.
you and Melanie Moreland. Melanie Moreland told me I have to read every one of her epilogues because
Yes.
in one, she might kill me off and make me run off the side of a cliff, and I won't know that I'm dead unless I read the epilogue.
Me too. I might
Okay.
do that too. That's a good idea, Melanie.
Yeah, Melanie, like, who's so super sweet. I don't know if you've met Melanie. She's
No, I
like
haven't had the chance yet, but yeah.
Canadian nice, like stereotypical Canadian, so sweet, such a nice lady. And she's like, I'm gonna have to kill you off now. And I'm like,
Like, what? We can't be friends. That's
why would
crazy.
Yeah, that's my like toxic book trait. Because
It's toxic, right?
if I need the epilogue to complete the story, then it
So
should have been a
you haven't
chapter.
read Miles Ever After?
No, I did read Miles because, see, you write your epilogues like a whole book.
Yeah.
It's not just like two chapters, it's like a whole other
You
book.
mustn't, if you're not reading the epilogues, you mustn't be invested in them. Like, you cannot be invested in a
No.
story and then not read on the next part. Like,
But
you
you do such a
cannot.
good job. I believe in their HEA. Like, the bonus ends, they're engaged. Like, I got to listen to the audio.
Oh, you haven't read the extra two chapters.
I don't,
So
where
the
they weren't in my ALC.
No, in the paperback version only, there are three extra chapters, which is the epilogue.
No, I haven't read the
And we
three.
did that as a thank you to the bookstores for taking me in. So the bookstores have a little coup that nobody else has. And
I
it's
haven't
so
read
good. I
those,
love
and
it.
now I have to get a
Yeah. Yeah.
paperback.
There's three extra chapters. And there's another part that you don't know that in the ebook, you didn't get this either. The ebook has bonus scenes from Gabriel before he met Grace.
Oh, I would
Like,
like those. Well,
they
I
are
do have
so
an
good. They're not.
Irene sent me an e-arc also, so if they're in there.
Yes, that if you've got an E
I
arc,
did get
they're
an
in there.
e-arc.
Because that's the E, like, that's the ebook
Yeah.
bonus, like, the extra part. Yeah. Because
Yeah.
I didn't want to have just the paperback. I want people to be able to have bonus scenes
Sure.
regardless where they buy. But I did that as a gift to the bookstores. Like I said, I've never been to a bookstore before. I wanted them to have something special that people couldn't get online. Like, I just thought it was fair. So
Yeah.
that is why I've done it that way. And there are three extra chapters. They are really good too.
Okay. Well,
You
I
haven't
guess
read the epilogue. My God, woman.
I'm so sorry. Well, and speaking of bookstores, you had some exciting things happen for you over the course of the last 6, 8 months.
Yes.
You have an inaugural imprint called Keeperton.
Yes. So I've opened a publishing company. Its name's Keeperton. And the first imprint to go live is Arndell, which the bonus is through Arndell. I've got a team of the most incredible publishing experts, and Simon and Schuster took us on for worldwide distribution. So they are printing our books for us, and it's just been incredible. The support has been amazing.
It's so exciting, and it's great because you started as an indie author, small
Yeah.
author, doing this, for you, not sure where it was going to go, how things were going to happen, and now you've had this success, and with this success, you're actually opening up some opportunities for other indies to potentially get their books to bookstores.
Well, the reason we've done this is because I was really frustrated with the traditional publishing market right now. I just, I must admit though, the last few months it's been better. It's got a lot better with romance. They're taking a lot more of us on. But before that, so when I was back planning this 2 years ago, there was no romance books in bookstores, and I was so over it. I was just sick of it. So, and I was really sick of the publishing companies gatekeeping what they publish, not what people want. Romance is the biggest genre in the world, and yet you'd go into a bookstore 2 years ago and there would be five romance books in it.
Three
So
shelves.
thankfully the tides are changing. Thankfully things are getting better. So that's why I originally was like, I need to change this. This is bullshit. And thankfully things are changing. Right, we launch in a week. Our first book releases in a week, so it's exciting times.
It's so exciting. And as a longtime romance reader, and I've been reading indie since 2012, I am so excited to see these indie authors get their moments to shine. To be able to walk into the retail establishments, the bookstores, the Walmarts, the Targets, the Five and Dimes, and see your books on the shelf and that they're accessible outside of a website, but that they're still there on the website. One of
That
the
that's the beauty. That's the beauty of the current day climate. Authors can hold on to their ebook rights and publish them and hit their dream of being a New York Times bestseller. Once upon a time, you could only hit that list if you were in bookstores, or if you were taken on by an agent, or if you were represented by a publishing company, and they would not sign romance authors. We weren't even in the thing. And finally now the literary society is suddenly realizing, oh, hang on a minute. These indie authors seem to know what they're doing. Like, where have you been for the last 10 years? But anyway.
Yeah, no, and Big Pub is saying, hey, these indies are killing us. We
Yeah,
can't.
they're killing us. They because they're So I got asked this in a podcast last week. Why have people shied away from bookstores? And I'm like, because they haven't been stocking what we want to read.
Yeah, well.
Like, that is the only reason. Everybody wants a tangible book. Everybody loves to read a book. But if you can't buy what you want to read in a bookstore, you're not going to buy just a book for the sake of it. You're going to read it online. So I think they're finally catching up.
I think so.
Thankfully, it's such an exciting time to be in the romance genre because
You
finally
guys
people
are,
are starting
it's
to take
revolutionary.
notice.
You are laying a path that has not been laid before. And it's really interesting for someone like me. I live in a small community. I don't have a local bookstore. I don't even have a local Barnes and Noble. The closest one is like 45 minutes away. I do have Walmart, and they are now stocking books. I was able to
My
find,
books are going into
I
Walmart
can't
soon.
wait. Well, and I will check it out next Tuesday, and then I will take a picture and I will tag you and let you know
If
I found your book at my Walmart in Little Nowhere, Ohio.
they don't have it, ask for it.
I will.
Ask where it is.
So let's talk about the bonus because it is releasing on August 13th. It's a close proximity secret babies, coworker, boss, employee, and there is some family drama, which you do like to bring in the drama with the family.
Yeah, I do. Not gonna lie, I do.
Are you working out your own family drama or?
No, actually, I have a really lovely family. I don't know why I always do it. People always say to me, "Have you got a horrible mother-in-law? Because you write the best horrible mother-in-laws." And I'm like, "No, my mother-in-law is actually lovely." Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm going to be the horrible mother-in-law. I don't
So what is something that you really want readers to take away that read the bonus? What is the one thing you really hope after they've read that story that is one thing they take away?
My biggest aim is when I put a book out is for to make people feel happy. That's my only aim. I want, for me, I'm a rewatcher and a rereader. If I've got a book that I know makes me feel good, I want to read it again and again and again. If I've got a movie that I like, I will play it on repeat. It's my ADD coming out. I just like to feel good and I like to feel happy and I like to come away with that feeling like, wow, that was so fun. So I think this book, the first half is getting into the bones of the story, and the second half of it is just pure joyful. I just love it. So even when I edited this book and I go back, you read your book a lot of times before you put it out, and I just like I breeze through it. It's just so easy because I just love it. I love every page. So
I spent all day Saturday with it, and I was invested. I was in it. I don't want to give a spoiler away or anything, but there's a couple of side characters. Are they going to get a book?
yeah, I think so.
Fantastic. I was a little worried. I'm like, wait,
No,
wait.
I'm thinking they will. I'm getting asked for it a lot already, and that's just from the ARC. So by the t when it goes live, I can't imagine what's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but it's like one of those. Of course, I'm a romance reader. I need the side characters. HEA, please.
Yes, no, it's going good. Yes, hopefully.
So, is this going to be a series? Like, are we going to see some siblings getting some books?
Maybe, and maybe not. I'm
Okay.
just, there's a lot of things in play in the background
Sure.
with this. And I like that the main characters sit within that Miles world, if that makes sense. I do like that. So I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure how many is going to be in more, or I'm just not sure.
Well, it's nice to have a standalone as an author that is a great entry point for people into your books and into your world. So if we don't totally, I understand it because it is nice. You know, sometimes it can be overwhelming to walk into an author's world for the first time and everything's connected and it's
Yeah, it's too much. It's too much
17
sometimes.
books.
It's sometimes it's just nice. This is a character that I didn't think Gabriel was never getting a book in my eyes. Like, he was the bad guy. He was the bad guy. But I always kind of had a thing for him. I was like, oh, I like his scenes. He'll be fun to write one day. And I did a little, I'm not sure if you read my Christmas book every year. I put out a Christmas book with little short stories. And I did a story on him and Gracie. And it blew up. People were going crazy for it. So this is kind of my gift to them. It was not a book that I had planned to write. Although I must admit, by the time I got to like chapter five on that little excerpt, the Christmas book, I was like, oh, this is a full book. This isn't, this was not supposed to be doing this. Or I had already decided that I was going to write it for me, and but everyone wanted it as well. So it worked out for the best.
It's such a great story. So the bonus will be available August 13th. The ebook will be available in Kindle Unlimited. And then you will be able to find paperbacks at all retailers. It's so exciting to say that.
It is so exciting. It is. I can't tell you how exciting it is. We I'm in New York, as you know. So I'm here just to soak up the week before I start signing. So we've got a signing next Monday night, the night before release, on at Barnes and Noble in Union Square in New York.
Exciting.
And I was in there when I arrived. I went to the store and I was walking around and I was just having this biggest pinch me moment, like, I'm signing here next week. Like, what the hell? So
So
exciting.
exciting.
So exciting.
Congratulations. I am so excited for the world to get a chance to read the bonus out on August 13th. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. I really appreciate your time.
Of
And
course.
get the damn epilogue.
I'm
Will
going to go find all the epilogues now. I have to stop telling people that or I'm going to end up dead in like 17 different books.
in a ditch,
Something.
unidentified body.
Absolutely. Thank you everyone for listening. The bonus is available in ebook on Kindle Unlimited. You can find the paperback in all retailers. Until next time, everybody, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.